Well, good afternoon to all of you. Like it was said, this is a beautiful Sabbath day, and we're thankful for that. I want to say hello to those on the webcast. Hope you can hear what we say today. Well, in about 3 weeks, I didn't look on the calendar to know exactly, but in not very long, we're going to be keeping the Passover. And most of you are very familiar with the Passover, what it means to us, a very important celebration that we do. I was going to say Holy Day, but Passover itself is not a holy day, but Days of Unleavened Bread have a couple of holy days. So one thing we're told by the scriptures, especially the Apostle Paul, is to examine ourselves before the Passover. It's an excellent time to examine ourselves. So that's my subject today, and my title is Self-Examination, A Worthy Goal. Self-Examination, A Worthy Goal. And as I said, the Apostle Paul mentioned that a few times, specifically to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church, I guess it would be okay to say, was kind of a problem church. They had quite a few issues, and Paul had to write two letters to them. And some Bible historians think he might have written a third one, but we don't have that one, if he did write a third one. But the Corinthians had a reputation, not a good reputation either. They in their area, they had what was called the Temple of Aphrodite, the goddess of love. And there's all kinds of stories about what went on there, but I don't want to get into that. But it wasn't a good thing. Their reputation was so widespread and known in that time that they actually coined a word, and it was to Corinthicize. And what that meant was you're living a life that was not the best kind of life, but a life of a licentious lifestyle is what the Bible calls it. Of course, I don't think the church members were doing such things as that, as going to the temple and all of that. But, you know, when you live in a society like that, it tends to rub off on you. And I don't know if that had anything to do with their issue with the Passover. But anyway, I want to cover that. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians 11, 17, I'm going to read some verses there, and I can't read all of them because it just takes too much time, but at home it would be good to read more of that situation. So what was happening is they were keeping the New Testament Passover, but they were doing things in an improper manner. Verse 17, 1 Corinthians 11, 17. Now, in giving these instructions, the instructions concerning the Passover, I do not praise you since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and I in part believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. We prefer the name New Testament Passover, but some people use the Lord's Supper, which apparently is fine. But what he's saying here, he says, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He means you're not doing it correctly. You're not really doing the Passover, the New Testament Passover. You're doing something else. And verse 21 emphasizes that. For in eating, each one takes his own supper. This is what they were doing there. This is not instructions for doing it properly. This is what they were doing. For eating, each one of you takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. Now that's not good for sure. And of course, we don't have a situation like that because we are very structured in the way we keep the New Testament Passover. Then he says, what, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? See, there was some people there that had nothing and others were consuming what was there. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Now I want to skip to verse 27 because we could get bogged down in reading all of that. And in verse 27, he says, therefore, whosoever eats, now I want to get to my main point here. Therefore, after, you know, going through all of this and explaining what they were doing wrong, he says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So the language Paul uses shows you that this is an important issue, that you should not take the Passover without considering what you're doing and know what you're doing. So I'm not suggesting, for example, that we have the same problem. You know, we don't come to Passover overeat and overdrink. I mean, we don't do that. But we still can take the admonition that Paul gave to them. And what did he say to do? He said to examine, verse 28, but let a man or woman examine themselves, so let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So we need to make sure that we do that. We examine ourselves. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians 13, and we'll begin in verse 4. Now this is the second book he wrote to the Corinthians, and notice what he says here. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. For though he was crucified in weakness, and I'll explain that later, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And then verse 5, he says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? And that word disqualified in the Greek is a very strong word. In the Old King James, I see, it uses the word reprobate. A reprobate is one who is cast off. So he said you need to make sure that you're not disqualified by not examining yourselves and taking the Passover in an unworthy manner. So some have wondered what it means, for though he was crucified in weakness, all that means is he took on the human body like us. And the human body is weak, let's face it. I mean, I sure, most of you know that, you know, through life you come to points where you're weak. You just don't stand up and do the right thing because we're weak. And yet he lives by the power of God, and we're to do the same thing. For he says, we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. And so it is the power of God that helps that weakness that we have. This idea of examining yourselves is not only Paul that understands that. The patriarchs of the Old Testament realized that as well, especially David. David is a wonderful example in this regard. So if you'll turn to Psalms 26. Psalms 26, when we're just going to read one verse here. This is David speaking, and here he's speaking to God. You know, David wrote about a half of the Psalms. There are 150 Psalms. He wrote about 75 or so. He says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. So David is saying that, I read the wrong verse here. Verse 26:2 says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. And then I want to turn to Psalm 139. And you don't have to turn there if you don't want. I have it in my notes. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So here's David understanding the importance of examining oneself. And the Apostle Paul gave us the timing that is best for such a thing, and that's prior to the Passover. So what's the goal of examining ourselves? What do we want to find out? What do we want to prove? Well, I have 3 points, but I suppose you could figure 5, 7, 12, probably. My 3 points go like this. Is God's truth a high priority in your life? Or is something else? Is it your job? Is it your recreation that you love to do, or whatever? Is something else the highest priority in your life? I understand that family is important. Of course it is. But right up there at the top should be the truth of God and God himself. Number two, am I striving to make positive changes in my life? You know, Paul lived a fairly long life, and when he was ready to give up his life, he said, I don't consider that I have attained. He still needed to work on himself. And all of us certainly know that as well, that we need to work. And so the way of testing, we say, are we making progress? Are we making some positive changes in our life? And number three, am I learning to be a servant as Jesus was a servant? You know, there's always something there's always some way to serve. I mean, here at church, there's all kinds of jobs that have to be done, and we have some people that have volunteered, and we appreciate that because there is much to be done. So to conclude, as the Passover approaches, let's examine ourselves and make sure we are in the faith. And what does that mean in the faith? Well, that means that we're obeying God, we're attending church, and we're studying and praying, fasting occasionally. That's what it means to be in the faith. So let's grow closer to God as we examine ourselves and move towards the New Testament Passover.